You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
In terms of the Olympics and civil liberties, Canada, when it was making the bid for the Olympics in Vancouver, held out a number of promises to the international community. One of those is the promise of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and of course the rights and freedoms that are enshrined in that charter. Another was a series of promises made to the inner city of Vancouver, the poorest residents of Vancouver, that they wouldn't be displaced by security initiatives. And the third was the idea that Canada the good and the free would be the place where the Olympic spirit would truly find its expression. That is the idea of athletes, amateur athletes competing at the highest levels, and international goodwill and wars and civil disputes being put aside in the interest of sport and competition on the playing field, that Canada really was the shining beacon, that it was our time to shine on these kinds of issues. As far as the security arrangements have panned out so far, the promises, or the reality, has not lived up to the promise. And I'll give you a couple of examples. In December of this year, the Vancouver Police Department began an operation where they were particularly targeting people in the downtown east side of Vancouver and issuing tickets to them, bylaw enforcement tickets for everything from spitting to riding a bike on the sidewalk, riding a bike without a helmet, tickets that people could never afford to pay. And this was put out at roughly the same time as a draft business plan. In that draft business plan, the VPD said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to have every police officer in that neighborhood do four what are called street checks per block. And a street check is where you stop somebody and you ask them for their name and date of birth and run it through a database, and just to see if there are any outstanding warrants. And the business plan said they were going to do this four times in every block on every shift, meaning hundreds of street checks of residents in a particular neighborhood over a period of just weeks. The business plan also set out that they were going to give out 20% more bylaw enforcement tickets in the neighborhood, which itself was an increase over the year before's business plan, which was a 30% increase in bylaw enforcement tickets in the neighborhood. So in December, what happened when this plan began to be implemented was that we saw over 800 bylaw enforcement tickets given out in a month in the downtown east side, over 1,000 street checks in that neighborhood of those residents in a 10-block area. The BCCLA responded to this. We had concerns about differential policing, that one neighborhood, that residents in one neighborhood would be particularly targeted for things like illegal vending. We weren't to understand that illegal vending tickets were being given out in kits to people holding garage sales, or that jaywalking tickets were given out in the Granville Entertainment District, where people, an area of notable street disorder, where people were jaywalking between bars. This was very particularly focused on one neighborhood where people were very vulnerable in terms of their access to healthcare. So we partnered with five aid service organizations, and we sent a letter to the police board saying, what you're doing effectively compromises people's access to basic healthcare, including low barrier clinics, needle exchanges, and the safer injection site. In partnership with a number of organizations in the neighborhood, and including the Power of Women Group and Pivot Legal Society, we managed to change that policy, and the VPD removed all reference to these initiatives from its business plan, stopped giving out tickets at this volume, and decided to focus, and we feel more appropriately, on issues of neighborhood safety and on consultation with the community about what kind of policing it needs to ensure resident safety, rather than imposing a ticketing regime. So it was a very good success for us out of the Olympic blocks, but certainly a concerning sign for those who believed that the Olympics were set to displace a huge community out of the downtown east side. We were also concerned, and we quickly responded when there was a motion introduced at City Council to ask the province for the ability to regulate what were called illegal signs. And this particular motion was targeted at something called ambush marketing. Ambush marketing is really marketing by anybody who's not an Olympic sponsor. Illegal signs were addressed at the issue of people putting up signs during the Olympics to attempt to get some of the international spotlight, media attention, that kind of thing. The fines that were proposed could be levied were up to $10,000 a day for illegal signs. This bylaw initiative came out of a context where the BCCLA had also filed a complaint because VANOC had actually purchased all of the outdoor advertising space in Vancouver, all of it, bus stops, billboards, for the 10-week period surrounding the Games. And they were reselling that advertising only to Olympic sponsors. So here you have a situation where all of the, I'm going to use this word advisedly, legitimate outdoor advertising space has been purchased by a single entity to be resold only to people that it approves of. And illegal signs are particularly targeted by the City of Vancouver and its bylaw enforcement officers with fines of up to $10,000 per day. Obviously, we were concerned about the possibility of protest signage, a chill on free expression, people concerned about $10,000 a day fines. If they were to put up a sign that said, you know, I dislike the Olympics, I like the Olympics, whatever the sign said, we were concerned that they would be particularly targeted. One of these provisions actually allowed bylaw officers to enter onto property without notice and remove what the bylaw officer deemed to be graffiti. So let's say you own a house and you spray a mural on the side of your house that could be offensive to international visitors. A city worker without notice to you could come in and paint over it on your house. With limited notice, a city worker could come into your house and remove a sign that was actually in your house, possibly in a window. So we were very concerned about this, and we continue to be concerned about this, and we were very present at council advocating that city workers be trained in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms and the ability of people to put up these kinds of signs. On that note, today we met with the ISU, the Integrated Security Unit. This is the RCMP-led task force that's in charge of Olympic security. It's an umbrella agency that includes everything from the Transit Police to Vancouver Police Department, and really everything in between, and they're responsible for venue policing. And so we had a question about, well, what happens if someone shows up to a venue with an Olympic ticket, but they have a t-shirt on that says Free Tibet, or it's a Pepsi t-shirt, and this is a Coke-sponsored event, or they have a sign that says No Olympics on Stolen Native Land, or some other deemed offensive slogan. What's going to happen? Will the ISU take their sign, force them not to come in because they have a t-shirt of a competing sponsor? What's going to happen? And they said, well, you know, no rules have been set, but that's not our responsibility. It's Vanock's responsibility because they're the private property owner and they can make whatever rules they want for people to enter. Well, the irony of this private property owner, of course, is that all of the members of its board of directors are appointed by government. They have established this private corporation in order to carry out activities that government would never be allowed to do, for example, restrict what citizens would wear or signs that citizens would have in venues that are largely taxpayer-funded, GM Place and BC Place. So a very interesting constitutional issue and many different issues, including the ISU was unable to talk about permit-only access, for example, to the Sea to Sky Highway or particular areas of downtown where we've seen in other mega events that people who need to be in an area for business or because they live there are issued a permit, and only those people and people with Olympic tickets would be allowed into those areas. They were unable to assure us that that wouldn't happen. They said it was one of the options that was being looked at, but it wasn't their responsibility either because that was simply a traffic management initiative and had nothing to do with security. So we're keeping an eye on that situation. The last point I'm going to deal with is the undercover tactics that we've seen security teams engage in. Two that we found particularly offensive. One was focused at the City of Vancouver City Hall, where undercover ISU members, and I guess it's fair to ask, are there any plainclothes ISU members in the audience this evening? It's kind of funny, but it's kind of not, because at the Privacy Commissioner's Conference, there was some lamenting of the fact that the ISU had not turned up to speak, and then one of the speakers asked, well, would the ISU please put up your hand? Michael Vaughn was there and relates this story very well. But there were actually three ISU members in the audience, unidentified. In any event, at City Hall, there were three ISU members who were in the audience, unidentified, listening to everybody's submissions on Olympic-related matters. And then following the event, approached three people whose opinions they deemed to be relevant security risks as expressed or potentially people in need of consultation, and presented their business cards and said, we'd love to speak to you. We're particularly concerned about City Hall being an idea of a place of free democratic expression, a place where you can go and express your opinion without fear that the authorities are monitoring your opinion to see whether it's in compliance or not with the idea of who needs to be consulted as as part of the security plan for the Olympics. That venue, as well as an independent bookstore in Victoria, was also targeted. An independent bookstore owner was asked to become an informant for the ISU to advise them about activist activities in the neighborhood. And functionally, I would assume, who was buying anti-Olympic books at the bookstore? Also clearly problematic in terms of the approach and very concerning from our perspective. The BCCLA is working very closely with a number of groups on this issue, and we will continue to, and we are also in the very early stages of preparing a legal observer team and our Olympic response so that we're available to respond very quickly to Olympic-related concerns as the games go on, and we're very excited about that.